Welcome to the Quarterly Briefing, where we take a closer look at the financial stories behind the world's biggest public companies, powered by AI to make it smarter, faster, and more engaging. Our goal is to make financial data more accessible by demystifying the complexities of corporate finance and informing people about the dynamics of today's markets. This podcast is not financial advice. It's for entertainment and educational purposes only. If you're curious about how companies grow, stumble, or pivot in today's fast-paced markets, you're in the right place. This is The Quarterly Briefing, where AI meets numbers and numbers meet narrative.
All right, so get this. Imagine a hurricane rips through, and suddenly everyone and their neighbor needs generators, chainsaws, lumber, you name it.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of the wild ride Lowe's had to deal with this quarter.
Wow.
So we're going deep on their Q3 2024 performance.
All right.
We've got excerpts from their 10Q filing and even some snippets from the earnings call transcript.
Ooh, so we get the numbers, A&D, the explanations straight from the execs?
Exactly. By the end of this deep dive, you'll know how Lowe's did, but also get a sense of their, you know, game plan, their priorities, the challenges they're facing.
Yeah, because honestly, like a company so tied to the housing market, how do they navigate all this economic uncertainty we're seeing?
Right. It's a fascinating look for sure.
Yeah.
So let's jump right in. Top line numbers first.
Okay.
Sales hit $20.2 billion.
Yay.
Which is down 1.5% from last year.
Okay.
So sales at stores open for at least a year, also down 1.1%.
Mm.
But here's the thing. They actually beat expectations.
Mm.
Even after you take out the sales bump from Hurricanes Helene and Milton.
Oh, wow. So they did better than expected considering those storms.
Yeah, it's a good sign of resilience, I think.
Definitely. And, you know, the 10Q breaks down sales further, right?
Yeah.
Into like product types, services, all that.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, products were the bulk of it, almost $19.3 billion for the quarter.
Okay.
Services brought in a decent $532 million.
Gotcha.
That granular data, I think it helps paint a clearer picture of where their strongest revenue streams are.
For sure. For sure. And it gets even more interesting when we look at DIY versus pro.
Yeah.
Right? Like those two big segments.
Yeah. What's the breakdown there?
Well, DIY demand, especially for big ticket items, is still pretty soft.
Makes sense. People are probably holding back on those major renovations.
Exactly. But on the flip side, pro sales are doing well. High single digit positive comps.
Oh, interesting. So they're seeing growth there.
Yep. Which is something they've been actively trying to boost.
Yeah, I remember they've been investing heavily to attract more pro customers.
Right. Aiming for double the market growth rate in that segment.
Ambitious, but it seems to be working.
It does. So let's dig into this DIY slowdown a bit.
Okay.
The earnings call transcript actually shed some light on this.
Oh, what are they saying?
Well, execs point to affordability challenges for consumers.
Yeah, that makes sense. With, you know, high mortgage rates and low housing turnover, people just aren't moving as much.
Yeah, and fewer people moving equals fewer big renovations.
It's all connected.
It really is. It's like textbook macroeconomics in action.
Totally. But there's this interesting nuance.
Oh.
While big projects are down, smaller ones, especially outdoor, are actually doing quite well.
Oh, that's interesting. So people are still sprucing up their patios and gardens?
Exactly. I guess even with economic worries, we still want to personalize our spaces.
I feel that. Got to have that outdoor oasis.
Right. And it's not like Lowe's is just watching this trend. They're actively responding.
Oh, how so?
Well, remember back in March, they launched that My Lowe's Rewards program, specifically targeted at DIY customers.
Okay.
And early results. Promising. They're seeing increases in repeat purchases and higher average order value.
So building that loyalty is paying off.
Absolutely. Cultivating those customer relationships is key, especially when people are watching their spending.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
And, you know, speaking of strategic moves, let's switch gears to the pro powerhouse for a sec.
Okay.
I mean, Lowe's has made it clear, growing, that pro segment is a top priority.
They see a lot of potential there.
They do. They believe there's serious market share to be gained, especially among small to medium-sized pro businesses.
Interesting. So they're going after a specific niche.
Yeah. And it seems to be working. Those high single-digit positive comps for pro sales are pretty telling.
Yeah, no doubt.
But the big question is, can this pro momentum actually counterbalance any weakness that's still lingering in the DIY market?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question.
It is. It's something we'll be watching closely for sure. Now let's talk about the digital landscape, because Lowe's has been making some big moves there. Online sales, they just keep climbing.
It's the trend everywhere, right?
It is. And their mobile app is seeing like double-digit traffic increases.
Wow, so their digital investments are really paying off.
Definitely. And it's not just about, you know, buying stuff online.
Right.
They've got these new features in the app, like an in-store mode.
Oh, what's that?
It basically helps customers navigate the physical stores and find products easier.
That's handy.
Super handy. It's all about that seamless omni-channel experience, right?
For sure. Meeting customers wherever they are, online or in-store.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of convenience.
Yeah.
They've expanded their same-day delivery options.
Oh, nice.
Paint, which is like the number one home improvement project.
It is.
Is now available for free same-day delivery through their gig network.
Wow, that's a game changer.
Totally. Plus, they've added more brands and products to their same-day options.
So they're really doubling down on convenience and speed.
They are, but let's not forget about those hurricanes we talked about earlier.
Right.
You know, they gave Lowe's a short-term sales boost.
Yeah.
But they also created some logistical and financial hurdles.
Yeah, it's like a double-edged sword, those kinds of events.
Totally. On the one hand, Lowe's was able to mobilize all those essential supplies super fast.
They've really invested in their supply chain, haven't they?
They have, which helped them get those supplies where they were needed quickly.
That's impressive.
It is. But then on the other hand, these hurricanes did have a negative impact on their profitability.
How come?
Well, the 10Q actually breaks it down a bit.
Okay.
So lower margin items like generators and chainsaws, they're in super high demand.
Right. Essentials during a storm.
But those don't bring in the same profit as, say, you know, a fancy kitchen remodel.
I see. So the product mix was skewed towards lower margin items.
Exactly. Plus, there were higher transportation costs to get everything to those areas so quickly.
Makes sense. It's all about supply and demand in those situations.
Totally. And we can't forget about potential inventory losses due to the storm damage.
Oh, right. That's a factor, too.
Yeah, it is. Hurricanes create this whole complex scenario.
They do.
So let's take a look at their overall financial health.
Right.
Their gross margin currently sits at 33.7% of sales.
Okay.
Which is slightly up from last year.
Not bad.
Not bad at all. The 10Q explains that they've been doing these perpetual productivity improvement initiatives.
What's that? Like streamlining things to save money?
Basically, yeah, finding ways to do things more efficiently and cut costs.
Smart move.
It is. But those savings were kind of balanced out by the supply chain investments and the pressure from the hurricanes.
That's a balancing act.
It is. Trying to find that sweet spot between efficiency and strategic investment for the future.
Yeah, and it seems to be working, right? They're still projecting a healthy operating margin for the year.
They are, between 12.3% and 12.4%.
That's pretty impressive considering the hurricane impact.
It is. It really speaks to their ability to manage costs effectively. And as for their earnings per share, GAAP diluted EPS came in at 2.99.
Okay, and what about adjusted EPS?
That was $2.89, which excludes the one-time gain from selling their Canadian retail business.
So the bottom line is they're still making money.
They are. Which is always a good sign.
Definitely. And it looks like they're sharing that success with shareholders.
Oh, yeah. How so?
Well, they repurchased $758 million of their own stock this quarter.
Okay.
And paid out $654 million in dividends.
So those are some pretty clear signals of confidence in their long-term prospects.
Absolutely. Now let's shift gears and look ahead a bit. What's their outlook for the rest of the year?
Okay, so they've adjusted their 2024 outlook a bit.
Okay.
Now expecting sales between $83 and $83.5 billion.
Okay.
And they're predicting comparable sales to be down between 3 and 3.5%.
So a bit of a cautious outlook.
It is. Which makes sense given all the economic uncertainty.
Yeah, trying to predict anything right now is a challenge.
Totally. And in the earnings call, management acknowledged that predicting a DIY recovery, especially for big ticket items, is really tough.
So they're not expecting a sudden surge in those big renovations anytime soon.
Nope. They're actually anticipating continued pressure on DIY spending as we head into 2025.
Wow. So they're taking a long-term view.
They are. But even with all this uncertainty, they're laser focused on driving growth in their pro and online segments.
Makes sense. Those are areas where they have more control.
Exactly. They're really doubling down on what's working.
It's a smart strategy, adapting to the current landscape while still keeping their eyes on the long-term prize.
Totally. So they're saying, okay, things might be a bit shaky right now, but we're going to play the hand we're dealt and come out stronger on the other side.
I like that. It's a resilient mindset.
It is, and it's something we can all learn from.
Definitely. So what's the biggest takeaway here? For someone who's not, you know, a Wall Street analyst or a home improvement guru.
Yeah, what's the key takeaway?
Well, I think it's this. Even in tough times, companies that are agile, think strategically, and really focus on their customers, they can not only survive, they can actually thrive.
Yeah, and Lowe's is a perfect example of that.
Totally. They're adapting to changing consumer behavior, they're embracing technology, and they're playing to their strength.
That's a valuable lesson for all of us, no matter what field we're in.
Right. It's a good reminder that we can't always control the circumstances, but we can control how we respond to them.
So true. And remember, this deep dive has only scratched the surface.
There's always more to learn.
Always. That's the beauty of it.
It is. So with that in mind, what's your final thought for our listener? Something to leave them pondering as they explore Lowe's and the home improvement industry further.
I'd say this. Pay attention to those underlying trends shaping the industry, both the big picture stuff like the economy and the more subtle things like how consumer preferences are evolving.
Okay.
Because these trends can impact your own life, whether you're a homeowner, an investor, or just someone who's curious about the world around them.
Makes sense. So stay informed, stay curious, and you'll be well equipped to navigate whatever comes next.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
You know, it's interesting. We've talked about those hurricanes and the financial impact.
Yeah.
But they also highlight something else, I think, like how external events can really shake up consumer behavior.
Oh, totally. It's like a real-time case study in market dynamics.
Exactly. You have these unexpected events that disrupt everything, and then you see how a company like Lowe's has to adapt and respond.
It's a good reminder for all of us to be prepared for those curveballs, right? Like, how would our own plans be affected by some sudden shift or a crazy event?
Right. Always good to have a plan B.
Speaking of plans, we talked about Lowe's focusing on the pro market.
Yeah.
But what are they actually doing to attract and keep those pro customers?
That's a good question. It's not just about having the right products. It's about creating this whole ecosystem that caters to their needs.
Okay.
So things like expanding pro-specific product lines.
Gotcha.
Offering those bulk discounts and job lot quantities.
Makes sense.
Dedicated checkout lanes, even credit options tailored for businesses.
So they're really going all in on making Lowe's the go-to for pros.
They are. And those positive comp sales figures suggest it's working.
It does seem like it. But it's a competitive market.
Oh, absolutely.
They can't just rest on their laurels. Got to keep innovating.
Exactly. And speaking of innovation, we touched on their digital stuff earlier.
Yeah.
But let's dig a little deeper. How is Lowe's using technology to make the shopping experience better for both DIY and pro customers?
Okay. Yeah. What are they doing?
Well, their mobile app is becoming way more than just a shopping tool.
Oh, really? How so?
They're adding things like augmented reality so you can visualize projects.
Oh, that's cool.
AI-powered chatbots to answer questions and give personalized recommendations.
Wow.
Even experimenting with tools that let pros manage their projects and orders right in the app.
That's some next-level stuff.
It is really pushing the boundaries.
Which brings us to another interesting point. The power of data.
Oh, yeah.
Lowe's is collecting a ton of data about customer behavior, preferences, all that. And they're using it to personalize the experience, make their supply chain smoother, even make smarter business decisions.
It's a great example of how data can be a strategic asset.
And it's not just for big companies like Lowe's.
Right.
Any business can leverage data.
Definitely. But on the flip side, for us as consumers, it's worth thinking about how our data is being used.
Yeah, good point.
And what we can do to protect our privacy.
Absolutely. Okay, so we've talked about sales figures, strategic initiatives, the challenges Lowe's is facing. But stepping back, big picture, how would you assess their overall financial health?
I'd say they're in a pretty solid spot.
Okay.
They're profitable, generating cash flow, have a healthy balance sheet.
Yeah.
Plus, they're investing in their future, both with technology and those strategic initiatives.
True, true. And they're returning value to shareholders with those stock buybacks and dividends.
Exactly. So, yeah, they've got challenges, no doubt. The economy's uncertain. Competition's fierce. The DIY market's still kind of sluggish.
Right.
But they seem to be handling it all pretty well.
They do.
Nah.
So, for someone who maybe isn't following Lowe's super closely, what's the one thing they should remember from all this?
I think it's this. Even when things are unpredictable, companies that are agile, strategic, and customer-focused can not only survive, they can thrive.
And Lowe's is a prime example.
Exactly.
They're adapting, embracing new tech, focusing on their strengths. It's inspiring, honestly.
It is. It shows what's possible when you have the right mindset.
Well said. So to wrap things up,
yeah.
What's your final thought for our listeners? Something to leave them pondering as they, you know, continue to explore Lowe's and the whole home improvement scene.
I'd say pay attention to the trends shaping the industry.
Okay.
Not just the big obvious ones like the economy,
yeah.
but also the subtle shifts in consumer preferences.
Because those trends can have a ripple effect.
They can.
Whether you're a homeowner, an investor, or just someone curious about the world.
Exactly. Stay informed, stay curious, and you'll be ready for whatever comes next. And you know, it's not just about Lowe's specifically, right? Like we've touched on bigger economic trends.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Changes in how people are shopping, even those hurricane impacts.
Right, it's almost like a crash course in home improvement economics.
Exactly. Think about all the things we can apply more broadly.
Yeah, like what?
Operational efficiency, strategic investments, customer loyalty programs,
mm-hmm.
building a strong digital presence.
Okay, yeah.
These are valuable for any business, no matter what industry.
So true. It's all about staying adaptable, focus on those long-term goals.
Absolutely. And hey, you know, after all this talk about Lowe's,
yeah.
I'm feeling kind of inspired to tackle some projects myself.
Me too.
Yeah.
Maybe not hurricane level, but definitely some home improvements on the horizon.
Well, hey, maybe our next deep dive could explore some of those specific products Lowe's offers.
Oh, now you're talking. I'm already picturing a brand new patio set.
We can dream.
Maybe we'll save that for another episode.
Yeah, good idea.
Thanks for joining me on this deep dive into Lowe's Q3 2024 performance.
It's been fun.
Until next time, keep learning, keep those questions coming, and you keep those aha moments happening.
And may all your DIY endeavors be a success.
This is the Quarterly Briefing, a W Section podcast production. This podcast was generated completely with AI. If you like the podcast, please give us a like and tell your friends. If you have feedback or different companies you would like us to include in a future episode, please send us an email at idea@quarterlybriefing.com. Thank you for listening.